Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the June 1st, 2025 service, the seventh Sunday after Easter. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. Please join me in the call to worship. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice.
We tremble at God's awesome works.
The heavens proclaim God's righteousness.
The Lord is our guard and protector.
Light dawns and joy fills our hearts.
Rejoice in the Lord and give thanks.
Next is the hymn, My Hope is Built. Next is the hymn, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Thank you. A reading from the Book of Psalms. God rules. There's something to shout over. On the double mainlands and islands, celebrate. Bright clouds and storm clouds circle round him. Right and justice anchor his rule. Fire blazes out before him, flaming high up the craggy mountains. God's lightnings light up the world. Earth, wide-eyed, trembles in fear. The mountains take one look at God and melt like wax before Earth's Lord. The heavens announce that God will set everything right, and everyone will see it happen, glorious. All who serve handcrafted gods will be sorry, and they were so proud of their ragamuffin gods. On your knees, all you gods, worship the Lord, and Zion, you listen and take heart. Daughters of Zion, sing your hearts out. God has done it all, has set everything right. You, God, are high God of the cosmos, far, far higher than any of the gods. God loves all who hate evil, and those who love God he keeps safe, snatches them from the grip of the wicked. Light seeds are planted in the souls of God's people. Joy seeds are planted in good heart soil. So God's people shout praise to God, give thanks to our holy God. This is the word of the Lord.
Next is Special Music by Olivia Schultz. Next is the hymn, Open My Eyes That I May See. Next is the hymn, The Church's One Foundation.
We turn now to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. And in turning here, it is the exact follow-up to last Sunday and the sermon I preached on Paul and Silas, who were debating what they should do when they had been in the marketplace during the day, and then in the evening at Lydia's house, and then back in the marketplace, and there was this girl that was just dogging their trail. Here's the end of that story. One day, on our way to the place of prayer, a slave girl ran into us. She was a psychic, and her fortune-telling made a lot of money. Not for her, but for those who owned her. She started following Paul around, calling everyone's attention to us by yelling out, "These men are working for the Most High God. They're laying out the road of salvation for you." She did this for a number of days until Paul, finally fed up with her pestering, turned and commanded the spirit that possessed her to be gone. He said it in this way, "Out! Out! In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her!" And it was gone, just like that. When her owners saw that her lucrative little business was suddenly bankrupt, they went after Paul and Silas. They roughed them up and dragged them into the market square, and then the police arrested them and pulled them into court with accusations. "These men are disturbing the peace, dangerous Jewish agitators subverting our Roman law and order." By this time, the crowd had turned into a restless mob, out for blood. The judges went along with the mob. They had Paul and Silas' clothes ripped off and ordered a public beating, and after beating them black and blue, they threw them into jail, telling the jailkeeper to put them under heavy guard so there would be no chance of their escape. He did just that, threw them into the maximum security cell in the jail and clamped leg irons on them. Along about midnight, Paul and Silas were in prayer and singing a robust hymn to God, while the other prisoners couldn't believe their ears. Then, without warning, a huge earthquake struck. The jailhouse tottered and every door flew open, and all the prisoners were suddenly loose. Startled from sleep, the jailer saw that all the doors were swinging loose on their hinges. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he pulled out his sword and was about to do himself in, figuring that he was as good as dead anyway, when Paul stopped him. "Don't do that! Stop! We're all here. Nobody has run away." The jailer got a torch and ran inside. Badly shaken, he collapsed in front of Paul and Silas. He led them out of the jail and asked, "Sir, what do I have to do to be saved, to really live?" And they said to him, "Put your entire trust into the Lord Jesus. Then you'll live as you were meant to live, and everyone in your house included." They went on to spell out the detail of the story of the master. The entire family got in on this part. They never did get to bed that night, and the jailer made them feel at home, dressed their wounds, and then he couldn't wait till morning. He was baptized, he and everyone in his family. There in his home, he had food set out for a festive meal. It was a night to remember. He and his entire family had put their trust in God, and everyone in the house. Everyone in the house was in on the celebration. This, my friends, is the word of the Lord. This picture that started out our worship service is a picture of a partial concrete wall, and then you see the rails, the jail cell, come into view. I've chosen this to help set the scene for this particular passage. And my sermon I've entitled "Freedom Songs at Midnight." It's midnight in a jail cell. Chains rattle in the dark. Bruised and bleeding, two men sit on their cold prison floor. And then it happens. They begin to sing. Not a song of complaint or a cry for revenge, but a song praising God. It's one of the most unexpected moments in Scripture, where here Paul and Silas, unjustly beaten and imprisoned, begin singing hymns to God at midnight. Their voices echo through the prison, cutting through the darkness like candlelight in a cave. And that's where our story turns. An earthquake shakes the foundation, doors fly open, chains come loose, and here's the twist. The prisoners stay put and they don't flee. The jailer, who's responsible to keep these prisoners in jail, doesn't lose his life. Instead, he's a man who once guarded them, and now he kneels before them, trembling, and asks, "What can I do to have real life?" This passage is about more than a jailbreak, about setting prisoners free, because it's about the kind of freedom that comes from knowing who holds your chains, who holds your soul. So what's the context here? Paul and Silas were in a Roman town, Philippi, one of the colonies of the Roman Empire, and after healing a slave girl from a spirit that gave her owners profit, They're dragged before the magistrates, they're stripped, they're beaten, they're thrown into prison, and their crime was simply the crime of liberating someone. Their punishment unjust and brutal. In the jail, they begin a midnight praise chorus and worship in the dark. Let's not skip too quickly to the earthquake itself. The real miracle is that they sang. You see, worship in daylight is one thing. Worship when things aren't going well, when the bills aren't paid, when our health is not good, when our kids are not thriving. We know how to worship when things are good, when health is on the upturn and we feel like, oh good, we've turned a corner and now it's on to better times. When our kids, especially our teenagers, speak to us respectfully and listen to us carefully, that's worthy of praise. But that's something else. Midnight praise comes when the diagnosis isn't good. It comes when relationships are strained. It comes when our soul is weary and our future is uncertain. Midnight praise doesn't ignore pain. It sings through it. It says, even here, God is worthy of my praise. Paul and Silas weren't singing to be free. They were singing because they already were free in here. Though chained, their spirits were unbound. Recognizing that this moment in the darkness, in this prison cell, it cannot contain the spirit. Their spirits were unbound. Because when Christ sets us free, you are free indeed, and no prison anywhere can hold us captive. Midnight praise chorus breaks out. But notice they're not alone in their singing. While they're in the dark and maybe can't see their fellow prisoner across the way or down the hall somewhat, their songs are setting others free as well. Notice what happens next. The other prisoners are listening. When we worship in our struggle, it becomes a way of communicating to others of how we get through. It doesn't say that times are easy. No, it recognizes that times are tough, and yet we sing. It becomes a witness for others. When we worship in our struggle, they listen. Those who are locked up in their own forms of bondage, whether it be chained to despair, whether it be locked to addiction, whether it be blinded by a mindset that is so dark that there is no hope at all in sight. Hear us. Hear us singing in the dark. And they lean in to listen. It's then that the earthquake comes. Not just as a physical tremor, but also as a spiritual shift. Doors open, but Paul and Silas stay put. They aren't interested in escape. They're interested in transformation. And this transformation is a different kind of freedom. The jailer is about to take his own life, thinking that all has been lost, all these prisoners under my watch are gone. But Paul calls out, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." This moment is much more than about prison bars. It's about the bars around the human heart. The jailer himself asks, "What must I do to live, to be saved? To live a new life?" And they reply, "Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved." And that night, that man who once wielded the keys to others' chains and others' freedom, he himself now has been set free. He washes the wounds of those he once guarded. He is baptized with his whole household. And that jail suddenly becomes a place of worship. It becomes a sanctuary. And this gets us to our freedom song. Because this story, this passage reminds us that freedom in Christ doesn't always mean release from hardships. But it does always mean release from fear, from despair, from spiritual death itself. So what do you call your midnight? What chains hold you down? What walls surround you and keep you in? I want to say one word to you. Sing. Yes, sing. Sing a song of hope like Ninkosi Sikelel, Africa. It's an anthem song sung in protest against the apartheid government of South Africa. And it's now part of their national anthem. Sing songs like the song A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke. It's an anthem of hope against racism written in 1963 after the murder of civil rights activist Medgar Evers. Yes, sing. Sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, that Christmas spiritual turned into a song of freedom. Yes, sing. Sing, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer out justice. Oh wait, I do have a hammer. And by the way, this hammer has my name on it. Well, if I had a bell, I'd ring out freedom. Well, we do have a bell. It's just out of sight and between our two buildings. Huh, I could set that ringing quite nicely. Well, I have a hammer and I've got a bell. Well, if I had a song, well, I'd sing about love between brothers and my sisters all over the land. We do have a song. We have a song. Even the one we learned as children. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. All these songs speak of our spirits and hearts being released, no matter what prison holds us. So what is your midnight song? What chains weigh you down? What walls surround you? Sing. Yes, simply sing. And as you sing, because in the darkness, you recognize that God is present. In the prison cell, grace breaks in. And sometimes, just sometimes, your song may be just the earthquake someone else needs to hear. So, my friends, keep singing songs of freedom, especially at midnight. While the music started, did you hear that song of freedom? Song of freedom from a toddler. That's Harold. And you can greet him later. He sang that song of freedom that all of us have sung at some time in our life. Mom? Yeah, wonderful song.
Next is the hymn, Open My Eyes.
Yeah.
Next is the hymn, The Church's One Foundation.
So we go out singing this song.